Greetings and welcome to Knowl Share with Dr. Dave. Knowl Share with Dr. Dave is hosted on grokshare.com and is available on iTunes and Google Play. You are listening to episode number 25 with Jorgen Apollo. Our topic today covers Jorgen's book, Managing for Happiness, and his unique insights into creating an environment for both managers and the builders of things to prosper and be happy.
Well, hey, Jorgen. It's great to see you. It seems like it's about 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in California in Costa Mesa. And you're what time in Central Eastern European time?
It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon right now.
5 p.m. So where are you currently?
At home in Brussels, which is rare nowadays because I travel so much. But today is a nice day at home.
That's wonderful. You know, recently I heard you spoke at the Agile 2016 in Atlanta and then again at Agile SoCal in Irvine, California. You know, it was great to see you in small venues. So someone also told me that you were at Agile Santa Barbara. I just want to say thank you for sharing with the people in these smaller venues.
So it was all part of the book tour that I did. It was 7 weeks all over the US. And I had a couple of big events, which included the Atlanta event, Agile 2016. And in between, I had plenty of time available. So it was fun visiting the smaller communities in various parts of the USA.
Well, thank you. Let's start with our question. What is a compelling or fun story about Jorgen?
Well, a compelling / fun story would be something that I frequently share during my keynotes, is that I was awarded the prize of being the Entrepreneur of the Year in 1999 in my country, in the Netherlands. And that was at the start of the internet bubble, internet hype, the end of the 90s. And I got that award for a business plan, not for a business, but for a business plan. And this is something that many agilists will find very, very funny, because I wrote a fantastic looking plan. And it said that all the revenues would go up, and the profits would go up according to my plan, and the number of employees would go up. Everything would go up according to my fantastic looking plan. And I got an award for that. I was the Entrepreneur of the Year. Not surprisingly, nothing of that plan ever happened. We were not very successful at implementing the plan. But hey, I got an award. And that was nice.
That's fabulous. Your second book, Workout, it was renamed Managing for Happiness. How did that happen?
Well, actually, Workout was my third book, because the first one was Management 3.0. The second one was a little book called How to Change the World, which was a self-publishing experiment. I like the self-publishing very much. So I did that again with Workout. Change the World was sort of an experiment in self-publishing. And it was a successful experiment, so I did again with the Workout book, and that was a very big, heavy book with 400 plus pages that looked exactly as I wanted it to be, full color, horizontal instead of vertical, to make it look different and special. And I sold a good number of copies of both the paper version and the EPUB version. And then a publisher came in, Wiley, who also published Business Model Generation and many other colorful looking business books. And they reached out to me and they said, can we take over the publishing of that book? And I said, sure, why not? So they took over, and then they insisted that the title would be different because they didn't like the Workout title. They said it's not going to sell, and they had experience with words that were better, and they suggested Managing for Happiness. I had to get used to that, Dave. It was a bit like someone telling you that they're going to rename your child. Imagine that. but ultimately, I agreed. They know their market. They know the business. I'm quite happy with the Managing for Happiness title by now.
Transition from Management 3.0 to Managing for Happiness. You describe that transition as you go aspects to managing for happiness?
Well, it sort of all came together when I started my own business together with a couple of friends, because I had been successful as a writer and speaker. I started licensing my workshops based around Manager 3.0. And I needed a company for that because I couldn't handle it all myself. So I started a company. I needed a name, and I was very inspired by a picture in my hometown, which is created by a photographer, Ken Lum, who now lives in Philadelphia, US. And his work of art says, "Melly Shum hates her job." And it's a very compelling picture. It has been in Rotterdam for 25 years or something like that. It is a big photo slash billboard in one of the streets, and many people love it. Because it's so strange, it just says Melly Shum hates her job, with a picture of a person smiling in the camera being unhappy. And for me, that picture was the background story for everything that I did. I wanted people to be happier in their jobs, and I said my company should help people be happier in their jobs. So let's call the company Happy Melly. We're going to try and make Melly happy, or help her be happy. So that's when the happiness angle came in. And then later with my workout book, the publisher says, what about happiness? Because everything in your book, it looks very colorful. It looks like a very, why aren't you calling it Managing Happiness? And I said, well, you have a point there. And actually it resonates with my company name together with that I'm running with my friends. Which is Happy Melly. So that's how it all came together, and why I jumped onto the happiness bandwagon. I'm not the only one. There are other chief happiness officers around the world. I'm quite sure heard of them as well. So it's an important topic.
So I was really intrigued about this incentive system that you introduced at your company. Tell us more about the program, and how did that change the behaviors of people in your company?
So what we do at Happy Melly One, my own little company, we have about 11, 12 people working on the team now. We have a steady monthly income, each of us, which depends on how much we work, of course. And then we have something extra every now and then, which is our bonus money. I was inspired by some other companies, including Linen Labs, creators of Second Life, and IGN, part of News Corporation. I recently read about Red Hat having a similar incentive scheme, where they basically rely on peer-to-peer crediting, so people giving each other credits. So how it works with us is that at the start of the month, we have 100 points, and we give each other credits for our contributions to the performance of the company. So 10 points for your super fast response times, 5 points for helping me out, or 15 points for getting the web server up and running on the weekend when it crashed, whatever. Doesn't matter. Anyone can credit each other for anything. And these points accumulate over time, they build up, and those are our performance credits that we receive in a 360 peer-to-peer fashion, in a continuous way, basically. So it's not like an annual appraisal with 360 input. No, this is on a day-by-day basis, which is fast feedback cycles with very small amounts of credit. So it's easy to fail, easy to steer everything. And then the credits build up over time, depending on the budget, depending on our income as a company. I set aside some bonus money every month, that also builds up over time. And then once per month, we roll the dice and decide whether or not it is a bonus payout time. And we came up with a funny rule that we have to throw a 6, and then we pay out the bonus. If there's no 6, there's no bonus. It simply rolls over to the next month. And we have to keep rolling dice until someone throws a 6. And then it is, yay, bonus time. And the nice thing about that is that we cannot predict when the bonuses are being paid out, because we all know what happens when people are promised a bonus in a certain month, in December, for example, then they will have spent the money before they even received it. And that's always annoying. So we have to wait until we really know that we get the bonus now, because we roll a six, and then we can celebrate.
That's fabulous. That's such a great story. Tell me the name of the companies again.
Well, I just last week read Open Organization by the CEO of Red Hat, and I read that they have a similar peer-to-peer incentive scheme. It works in the details. All those implementations are different, but the principle is what is important for me. It is that people pay each other the bonus, basically, depending on what they see as behaviors and contributions in the organization. And the others were, I have an article referred to from my book about IGN, and Linden Labs created the Second Life. And there are more. I've seen it a couple of times. Not many organizations play with this, but for me it makes total sense, because it's not only continuous small feedback cycles applied to performance appraisals of 360 way, but it's also in line with crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, basically delegating decisions to the crowd, because there's so much intelligence in the crowd. You just need a smart system to extract that wisdom that is there somehow in the crowd among your employees. And that's what I, as the manager, I'm responsible for. What kind of system do I use to tap into the knowledge of the people who know about each other, who the good performers are?
Awesome. So culture is essential to the norms and behaviors. Would you pick a culture practice off the shelf, or encourage organizations to discover a unique culture?
I would say you need a unique culture. It's I gave the example of rolling the dice, deciding when it is time to pay out the bonuses. That's something that we came up with. And I'm happy for others to copy such suggestions, but it's better to come up with your own silly things that make sense to you in your context. We have a weekly call on Thursday afternoon, which is called Kitten Talk, for example. It's like, it's the online water cooler, basically. We get together on Zoom, whoever is available, doesn't matter. And then we talk about stuff that is not about work. We talk about kids, vacations, hobbies, whatever. You have to schedule for that, because we're a distributed remote team. None of us are in the same office. So you have to schedule the water cooler talk, the coffee chatter, basically. Only we call it kitten talk. So we talk about kittens or whatever. It's just a silly name. But that is important, I find, to add a bit of playfulness and silliness to the office. And that is our culture. So I don't think anyone else should start calling their weekly meetings kitten talk. They should come up with their own name. Makes sense for them, because that's how you create a great culture, by not copying practices precisely from others, but understanding the idea and then doing things your own way.
That's awesome. Now, you know, metrics is a dirty word to most people. How can leaders encourage people to take ownership of metrics and use them as an indicator?
Wow, that's a good question. I still struggle with that one, I have to be honest, Dave. But what I found out is that everyone finds it important, but many people struggle with it and actually dislike collecting metrics and measuring themselves. So I find it's a bit like finance. So I find people have troubles with it, because they find it important, but they prefer that somebody else does it. It's a bit like finance. It's a bit like we all know that we have to keep track of our finances, but we would love to have our Uncle Jim do our bookkeeping. And it's a bit the same in organizations, where people know that it's important to measure our performance as a team, as a company, but they prefer that somebody else does the data collection and the measurements and et cetera. And I'm okay with that, because some people are number heads and other people are not. So why not distribute those responsibilities and have perhaps a few people on the team, or maybe just one with a knack for spreadsheets, do the data collection and the analysis and calculating the ratios and whatever, but just keeping the team informed And then the team has to understand that they collectively own those metrics, that they are responsible for them. They just delegated the collection and the measurement to one specific person. But the ownership should be with the entire team. And yeah, that's difficult because many people prefer to focus on other stuff and being creative and communicating and whatever. And then we often forget to measure what is the effect of everything that we've been doing. How much effort went into this thing that we have been doing, and are we measuring a return on that investment, for example? That is often forgotten.
That's really excellent. That's great advice. So what advice would you leave our audience with to pursue or achieve happiness?
Well, my suggestion is, first of all, to try and be yourself as much as possible. Like, I never wear any suits or ties because I don't feel comfortable in that kind of clothes. I'm perfectly happy for other people to wear suits and ties as long as they feel good wearing such clothes. That's just one simple example. I try to say no to everything that is difficult for me, or that makes my life stressful. Like, for example, I scheduled this call with you, Dave, while I'm at home, because in the past I scheduled such calls while I was traveling. I did that plenty of times, and I noticed that it adds so much stress to my work days, because then I need to be back in the hotel at a certain time while I'm walking around the city. And that is sometimes annoying. And then the hotel Wi-Fi doesn't work well, or there's a timeout halfway through the podcast and I have to log back into the hotel Wi-Fi. And or there are people in the corridor of the hotel making noise, and there's always something in my experience, and it's very, very stressful and annoying. So I said to myself, I'm not going to do this anymore. Every time I have a podcast, interview, whatever, I schedule it only when I'm at home, because I control my environment here. There is no noise. The Wi-Fi is decent. And that adds to my happiness. It restricts perhaps the freedoms for others, but hey, this is about my happiness as a worker. I need not to feel stressed when I'm traveling. And it's decisions like these that you have to experience. I mean, I say yes to many things as an experiment, and then I find out, well, it was nice trying, but I don't like this, so I'm not going to do this anymore. And then set yourself very clear boundaries to optimize for your happiness, while of course being respectful to other people. Don't say yes to everything. It's not going to make you happy in the long run.
I would just like to thank you. And then, what was the best way for our audience to connect with you, just to learn more, buy your book?
Well, I have a website that is easy enough. It's managehappy.com. There you find the book, where you can find the book. So that is, of course, the most important thing for now to get a copy of the book. If you type my name, if you just want to chat with me, just type my name, Jurgen Aplo. You'll find my website. You'll find my Twitter, Facebook, whatever. I don't have business cards anymore. Sometimes people ask me, can I get your business cards? No, just type my name in Google. What's easier than that? I can't make it any easier than that. Fortunately, there's only one person in the world called Jurgen Aplo. At least I haven't found anyone else with the same name.
Lucky you.
Indeed. So no worries. I don't need to carry a business card. So people can find me easily online. But it starts with getting a copy of the book. I hope people are going to do that.
Well, do. Thank you so much for your time today. And I look forward to speaking with you more.
Well, I'm sure that will be possible. I will be back in the U.S. Plenty of times over the next couple of years, I'm sure.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Look forward to KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. The KnowledgeShare with Dr. Dave podcast is hosted on grokshare.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Dave, reach out on Twitter at Dr. Dave Info or at KnowledgeShare. This podcast is an interview produced by Dr. Dave Cornelius. Copyright 2016 KnowledgeShare.
You rock share.
I grok it and I'll share. Every day, every day. Until next time.
pursue goodness, share, and learn.